Today is Friday, March 17th, 2023, and welcome to episode 35 of Rural Reliance with the Candy Couple. If you're new to our podcast, my name is Julia, this is my husband Aaron, and we are a small homestead family in rural Southwest Virginia who work every day at being more self-reliant.
Yeah, and if you haven't heard about Fountain.fm yet, it's a great place to listen to the podcast as well, where you can get some stats, Satoshi, from them. And if you're not interested in that, you can, and you're interested in supporting the show, you can do that through Spotify as well.
So today we want to talk about something that any homesteader is probably already thinking about.
Yes, because it's a big topic on everybody's mind right now, especially if you've had a warm spell, and that is
spring.
Spring and preparing
for spring. So we actually had a really big warm spell just recently.
It hit us too good.
Way too good.
It was nice taking walks out with short sleeves on, and our trees liked it too well, which decided to bloom like crazy.
We've been waiting for these apricots to bloom. I knew we were getting close. We knew we were getting close because they're a good size. They're at that age. They're past the 5-year mark. So last year I was expecting it. This year I can't. There was probably every bit of 1,000 blooms on that one, if not more. And of course I'd had to thin them out because it was way too many. Although that tree probably could have supported it. But yeah. And now we have 27 degree weather. They're bit. There's no way.
Yeah, we've had multiple nights of hard freezes.
Very hard freezes. So we know that all of that's been taken care of. But that doesn't stop us from prepping for spring. Because we know we had a false spring. Yes. That's a great way of putting it. Yep. We had a false spring. And spring is right around the corner for us.
And there's many things we have to do to prepare for that.
Yes. So for us, homesteading goes from like 0 to 1,000 with like a flip of a switch. It's never, oh, you start to see the grass slowly turn green. It goes from there's no grass to it's 10 inches over your plants or weeds.
Yeah. It's past few years, it's been a very quick,
sudden
transition to spring. And we got to make sure we're prepared for that and make sure we're doing everything that we want to get done in the spring.
See, I consider it's like flipping a light switch.
Yes, definitely.
I think that's a good way to describe it. So we try to do as much as we can to kind of ease that sudden switch by getting as ready as we can. So we're not getting ready when we need to be ready. Like, we get things ready beforehand.
Right. Doing the prep work.
Yeah. The past few years has been a lot harder on Aaron because it's been a lot of heavy lifting work. Bulk work.
Yes. Yes, definitely. We've got compost. And we're not talking about a little bit. We're talking dump truck loads full.
Yeah, they're asking us what we're doing with compost. So that's where we're starting. We're going to start with the garden because that's what everybody's really getting ready for, especially if you're homesteading. Garden's like number one thing right now. It's time to start getting ready.
I mean, some of you all might have already started yours depending what zone you're in, too.
Right, depending on your zone.
Or you still might be another month or two away.
It really depends. And for half of our stuff, we are a month or two away. We're over half.
Yep.
But it's time to do seed starting, so we're ready when that time comes. We need to do seed starting. We try to get those seeds started at a really good time indoors and get them where they need to be so that way we can get them ready to go into the ground. Most of our seeds go into the ground, or our seedlings go into the ground in May. That tends to be our sweet spot. We don't have to worry about freezes after that point. We tend to be in a good spot. So we try to get everything into the ground that we are going to plant in May.
Besides potatoes.
I'm talking about across the board. We try not to plant anything after May, except for like turnips. Turnips are a quick turnaround.
Or a
squash.
Second round in the summer of stuff.
Yeah, something that's very short dated. If it's very long dated, it has to be in the ground by May. We've tried to do July. And I counted, and I was exactly 100 days, and we had an early freeze.
Yeah, yeah. We can have freezes as early as September in the region we're in here. But we've had times before where it might be the end of November, 1st of December, even. So sometimes it's worth that risk for us to see if...
Hey, we can push it.
Let's see if we it doesn't freeze and we get in another crop of something.
So what we have to do in addition to our seed starting, we're going to start getting our soil ready.
Getting our areas prepped.
And this is a lot of work on Aaron.
Yes. This is anything from the garden itself to our raised beds.
Yeah, I typically take care of the raised beds.
You do.
I do the raised beds. I'm better, and I'm not saying this against Aaron or anything. I'm much better at getting things cleaned up. And cleaned around. Aaron knocks it down. He thinks it's done. I'm a little bit more meticulous, and I will actually go.
I'm good at taking the stuff and disposing of it.
He is. We know we play off of each other's strengths. I could take a bed, and it could be really weedy, and Aaron will get half of them out. I'll get them all out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how we work. It's what we look for. I'm a little bit more meticulous when it comes to that. But Aaron can handle things I can't. One of the things he's got to do within the next few weeks is, you know, go back up and till the potato patch again.
Yes. So this is an area that was built for not very deep roots.
Right.
And now we're turning it into a deeper area for potatoes. So making sure to get it tilled up really good to begin with and deep and... going to use a broad fork to break it up even a little bit more there. The only thing I was telling her I'm worried about is it big enough for 125 pounds of potatoes? Because that's what we have at the moment to plant, and I'm thinking we've got too much.
We have friends we'll give some of them too. So we do have a friend, Aaron has a friend, we'll give him some. He comes and helps us out. So that's one of the ways we pay him off for
doing that. Yeah.
We give him potatoes. Now, we do prefer to till in the fall, but I'm going to tell you, this year the garden prep didn't happen the way it needed to.
No.
Life happens.
Yeah.
And I've not heard any homesteader where everything works out just the way you want it to. And if it does, you're amazing, and I strive to be like you, but for us, life happened, and this remodel, I mean, we were constantly packing or moving furniture, and we started early.
Yeah, we started, like, last June,
and that seems like, wow, that's a really long time ago, but we're still living in our house.
Right, yeah, and thinking, where did we put this? Do we need this for within a year? Do we need this within 3 months? Where do we put this, you know, in the stack? Does it need to be on the top? Does it need to be on the bottom? You know, moving furniture, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And then it's been crazy with our work schedules on top of this. And we also got sick several times this year.
Yes.
So life happens. And when I'm sick, the homestead basically stops.
Thanks.
Well, let's be honest. When Aaron and the baby can be sick, the homestead will still keep going. When I get sick, everything kind of sort of goes to a standstill. And it has nothing to do with, you know, Aaron not being able to run it. It's just, I guess, I don't know. I'm sort of the boss. He doesn't know what to do without the boss. We also start prepping for new areas. And this is not just like a new... you know, in-ground garden bed.
I mean, we're talking about like new raised beds. Like last year we bought metal ones to put in certain areas. We bought new grow bags. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're thinking about where can we maximize the efficiency to get more food production on the homestead. So I'm sure this won't be the last year that we expand either. I'm sure we'll come up with something else for next year as well to expand these areas.
Oh, we even got a hen pen this year, so we can extend our squash production out somewhere else on the property just to try and see if we can get some more squash production somewhere else.
Yeah.
We have apple trees, and they get a good amount of shade underneath there. And we know for us, the squash kind of like that little bit of shade. And that's tends to be a pretty good area where a lot of clover and things like that grow. It's mostly clover. So we got a hen pen that we can use to protect anything we put in there from,
from deer. Yeah.
So that's another way we're expanding out our garden area. We also did compost and soil, like Aaron said. So this is a very heavy lifting labor of love for Aaron. This is where we don't have a tractor. We don't have a UTV, an ATV. We have nothing like that. We live on a very steep piece of property.
The UTV would be very helpful right here.
Right here, yes. But what we do have is a driveway. Aaron's two hands. His dad's two hands. 12 buckets.
Anywhere from 14 to 20, depending what we've used the other buckets for. Right now, it's 14 buckets.
14 buckets and two shovels.
Yep.
And
5 gallon buckets.
5 gallon buckets, and they fill up the buckets and put them in the back of the truck, go up to the top of the driveway, and they carry them where they need to go from there. It is not, it is backbreaking work.
Yes.
It's very backbreaking work. But for us, it's really the only way you could do it. Our property, the way it is set up is if you go the, like, one way beside the house, you're going to run right over our septic tank.
If you go the other way, you're running over the water line.
And it's very steep on that side anyway, mm-hmm. so it's kind of scary to go that way. So there's really no really good way to do it with, like, a truck. Aaron had to do a lot of this last year, and we actually had to get some help last year to put compost into the garden.
Yes, we put basically a whole dump truck
at least
worth in there.
At least. And it about killed Aaron because he was trying to keep up with my dad.
Yes, her dad is a beast, and he is hard to outdo.
There's not any, I mean, I'd put him up against anybody.
He'll be sore the next day, but you can't keep up with him that day.
I would bet money on any but on my dad.
I would too.
Like, Aaron's like, I'm trying to keep up, but I can't. And I told him that before we got together. Yeah. He didn't believe me. So Aaron's been doing a lot of backbreaking work. And he's been doing it in the evenings because thankfully it is getting lighter in the evening. So we do have about an hour before dinner. So
we'll have more time now since time's changed.
He and his dad really get to work with that while I'm with the baby.
Yeah. And we'll probably be doing a lot more of it here now with the time change. Right now we're trying to fill up a lot of those new metal beds, but we sort of need the contractors to get a few other things out of the way, which hopefully in the next week or two for us to get some of those other areas.
Yeah, because there it's a steeper climb.
Yeah.
We also have fencing all around that area too, which makes it harder because you have to walk all the way inside and all the way around. So it's a hefty walk, and we'll probably do a video to show y'all what this looks like, because it's like when we say we really are relying only on ourselves, the two hands, 2 feet, we really are just relying on ourselves.
Well, and my dad.
And your dad. We don't know what we would do without Roy with this stuff. One of the other things we do is we check our seed inventory at this time. And this is not just your garden seeds. We're also looking at ground cover. We are planning on using ground cover in between our rows this year. I'm going to do really heavy. I'm also going to put it around my tomato plants and things of that nature. So that way I can, my goal is to see if I can snuff out the weeds and also feed my ground at the same time. That's really the goal here. I'm really looking at what can I do. And what I really would like to do is get a ground cover that when I chop it, I cannot just chop it and drop it, but I can also chop it and give it to my chickens.
Yep.
Because that would be a twofold sort of, you know, play on that, kill two birds with one stone. So my goal is to really make it as less work as I can this year. try to ease up some of the work. We also need to start setting up our systems in the garden. So for us, this is a little bit different. I do not like drip irrigation. I know a lot of people do. I do not. This is not worth the work to me.
We do have an irrigation system that we did last year.
And we're going to upgrade that.
We're going to upgrade it. Last year we had sprinkler system.
And we liked the sprinkler system.
It worked.
But we had cheap sprinklers.
We did, but at the same time, our water pressure couldn't support...
It couldn't support a lot.
How many we wanted to do. So we had to come up later in the... After we got a few more of these, we had to come up with a switch that we can turn it on one section first, switch it to another section, and turn it on, you know, switch it to another. We're going to be doing that.
A post now
where you put it on top of it instead of having it on the ground itself so it can get... through more than what's right beside of it easier.
Yeah, so instead of having all of the different areas, we also set up fertilizing systems. So as the water's flowing through, it also fertilizes. That
yes. seemed to work pretty good. Liquid fertilizer.
Yep. Well, did powder too?
Yeah, we did. Powder, you know, just water, put water in with the powder to shoot it out.
So it worked out really well. But we need to get those set up and ready to go before we do anything. We got to get fence posts in the ground. We have to get the fence. We are actually changing where we put our shade cloth this year. They're going on their very own fence posts. Now, a lot of people feel like it's a waste of a fence post, but for us, it's really not. That's kind of key to a lot of our success. And it gets it up higher. It keeps it from getting caught getting caught in the fencing. We're upgrading all of our fencing in the garden, except for the bean area, because they did fine on the chicken wire.
Right.
They don't really need much more than that.
They're not heavy, you know.
No, we just let them do their thing. but the squashes, things of that nature, they need something a little bit more substantial. And for $100 to get, you know, 50 feet of fencing is not a big deal. And we got to get those fence posts in the ground.
We got to get the fence posts
first.
We are out of fence posts.
We use fence posts for everything.
We do. I might be able to find like two stash somewhere, you know, that
And I'm not even moved joking. Around. Everywhere we have pulled fence posts from on this property to
yes,
use. We've pulled them out of the woods. We've pulled them everywhere.
Yeah. I mean... I can't tell you how many fence posts I've driven in the past few years because we set up a lot of our rows this way. I will say I've seen a lot of videos recently of people using these automated ones with the air things and they're just sitting there letting it go down. I'm like, this is taking forever. I'm like, why would anybody do this? And you got to move all this stuff. It is so easy just to take a regular fence post driver and go around and do this. It's good workout, too.
It was one of the best investments.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, there's your number one for your favorite spring tool.
I guess that is.
I mean, it really is. So, talking about that, you know, we go from the garden. We're still in planning mode because we know that spring is not the best time to plant your new trees and your new plants, like your berries and all of that, your raspberries, your blueberries, things of that nature. The problem is nobody sends them out in the fall.
There is very few people that send them out in the fall. We thought we'd found
a couple
that did it in the fall, but one of them did send it out to the spring. not spring, winter, you know, but still, either way, we have to find places to put this. We have to prep these areas pretty much in the winter / before spring to make sure when we get all of these in that we have room for them or determining that these are the correct place for items.
And most of the time we try not to buy outside of the room we have, but this year we were gifted.
This year, my aunt had all kind of blackberry.
Thornless
that had rooted in that was, you know, trying cutting those off and planting those in. So I had to come up with a whole new place for blackberries. and I thought, okay, I'll probably end up with about 30 maybe. I don't know how many I ended up with when I came back. I bet I had about 50. So... when we were counting beforehand, I was like, okay, I need this many fence posts. Then after that day was over, I was like, okay, add 5 more fence posts to this.
Well, we do like our vines on fencing. That tends to
It does. It helps them, you know, you can tie them to that. You
can force, control them.
You can force them to grow onto that and keep it more contained to make it easier picking for you.
And whenever it's time to clean them up, I don't let Aaron be around because I will unroot them from the ground at the bottom when they go across. Or if there's a stray one, I will cut it down. And if Aaron sees it, he freaks out. He's like, it's food. It's food. And I'm like, if it's out of the row, like I give it a certain amount of space. If it's out of that space, it's gone. Like, it goes. I'm sorry, you're out of there. So stay in your area, you're fine. Because we are trying to keep these things manageable.
Right, right.
And that's part of it. So that's a huge thing Aaron works on. I mean, that, so both of, well, we're prepping for spring. We both have our strengths. I can drive a fence post, but Aaron's a lot better at it. He's a lot faster at it. I can work the tiller. Aaron's a lot faster at it. Aaron could do seed starts. I'm a lot faster at this. So it's really playing at people's strengths.
Yep.
Aaron would much rather drive all the fence posts than do a seed starting.
I would.
Any day of the week. Because it's a meticulous job. It's time consuming. His hands are so big. He can't work the tweezers. And it's just, it's just really play to your strengths to get the job done faster and get where you need to be. And all we're really focusing on is getting ready for that switch to flip and say, it's spring, now we got to go full force, and you don't have as much to do when that day comes. Now, there's one new thing for us, and I'm sure it's big for a lot of homesteaders. Chicks.
Getting ready for some chickens on our homestead. With that, we need to make sure that way, you know, we've got the type of feed we're going to have them, make sure we've got our water systems in place for them, make sure...
Water catchment
even in place for them, and making sure the coop is exactly how we need it as well.
Yeah, because it's about 90% done. There's a few small things we need to do in there, but it's not anything that's like, you know, 3 or 4 days worth of work. It's very little amount of work. But there are some things we need to do to get it completely ready. We also need to make sure we have, a broader inside. We actually have a guy local who builds them.
Yes. He's got some really nice ones that he does. It looks like this is his side hustle.
And, we looked at it and... That this is really what we're looking for. Yeah. And we could build it ourselves. We could. And, you know, take that time. But we would really like to support a local
homesteader. Right. And they look amazing.
And they look amazing. And he's already building them. And we feel they're very, very reasonable.
Yes.
Very reasonable.
Yeah.
We would spend that much money or more making our own.
Yeah.
And this one will hold 24 chicks, which is many chicks. That's probably the most amount of chicks we would have at one time.
Right.
So we wouldn't have that many at one time. But our pickup is in April. So it's coming. And we did go with the...
American Breast.
The American Breast.
It's
local.
It's local for us. So it's
very local for us.
So if you look at the American Breast website, you'll see, you know, breeders everywhere and stuff like that. And I remember when I was looking through it, I was like... I'm looking at some of these big ones. Let me see if there's any in, like, Virginia or Tennessee close. Well, to my surprise, there was one in our county, even.
Yep.
Within a 15, 20-minute drive.
Right. I mean, that's crazy amazing.
Right.
Like, we will go there and pick them up.
Yes.
So that's very, very nice for us. They are going to be unsexed, so we were not going to know the sex of them, right. But that's fine. We actually went with 15. We're planning on only having 10, but depending on how many roosters we have.
Hopefully it's not 15.
Hopefully it's not 15. If it is, we'll be ordering some more to get started for later. But hopefully by the time fall comes around, we'll have some eggs started.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the plan. Something else you need to do is start looking at your property.
Yep.
Start getting your property ready for spring. Now, this doesn't seem like a big deal. I'm talking your fencing. Upgrade any garden fencing. We know around our tater patch. Yes, I said tater. That is.
That's potatoes for people that don't know what that is.
Yes, it's a tater. our tater patch. We need to create a bit of a barrier. I don't need this fencing to be super strong. We didn't make this fencing to be like completely, it's there and it can be permanent, but it's not made to be super strong. It's just made to be a deterrent. We don't plan on putting anything up there that's going to like attract the deer. At this point,
we hope nothing there attracts the deer.
We've never had any issues with the deer coming in and eating potatoes.
They've ate the tops off
before. They've ate the tops, but they would typically go for anything else. Well, and if you put fencing around it, they typically tend to be deterred.
But, you know, at the same time, when we're talking fencing too, we need to upgrade our... We got some of those cheap little... fence post,
for that area,
like used for tomatoes or something, you know, to grow up, and it was okay, but we really needed a couple more fence posts in there as well.
And that's in my plan, to get a couple more there, so to upgrade that fencing. We also have some fence posts that we need to have some extra support on in our garden, and we got like 6 or 7 that need some extra support. So what we'll do is we'll get the fence posts and we'll pull it back and wire that in there and get those attached so we get that extra support. We'll have Aaron, he'll drive those new fence posts as deep as he can into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much harder for that other fence post to get it as close as he can. And he's gotten really good. I mean, that's the thing. Once you get started and you really learn, Aaron's gotten really good with that post driver. I mean, he can get a fence post, he can get them almost right next to each other.
Well, I was going to say, at the same time, you know, when we're talking fencing, you've got to think about repairs.
Yes.
Because for us, we've put like the deer fencing at the bottom around.
I've ripped it. I have ripped it with the weed eater.
Yeah, everything has touched it and ripped it around. The cats chewed through it. You know, we need to fix that area around the bottom of the fence to keep out rabbits, for example, because we had some baby rabbits in our garden last year.
The ones that the cat didn't get.
Yes, the ones that the cat didn't get.
We had a few the cat did get. That's so true. It's hard telling how many little baby rabbits were running around. We plan on actually putting chicken wire around the bottom and really getting that on there really good and seeing how that works, because we want to use part of our run for chickens. Meat birds. It's a great area. It really is.
It is. It will be extremely nice using that as dual purpose area.
Absolutely. What we'll do is we'll have two areas. We'll have one side and we'll just leave right there where the doors are. We'll leave that kind of fenced off with some of that plastic poultry netting, and so that way if we need to get in and out, we can, and we don't have to worry about the chickens. And also, if we need to get to the chickens, we have time to shut the door.
Right.
I try to think these things through, because I know what's going to be a problem, but it should help keep the weeds down, should help keep the bugs. I'm not really worried about them eating on a lot of those plants too terribly bad, because those plants are taking off there, the jostas and the gooseberries. And we can always put some sort of bird netting around them if we needed to, because we would be able to make it to where the chickens didn't get caught into it.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you need to look at is making sure everything you have gets ready for spring, your tools.
Yeah, so for us, for example, is making sure the rototiller is ready. So change the oil in it, put some more transmission fluid in it as well, so it could run the rear tillers better. It added a little bit more of that in there and made sure it was ready to go, you know. Make sure it starts. You don't want to get to that point and be like, okay, I'm ready to plant this weekend. You haven't got your tiller out or anything until that weekend. And then it's like, okay, now I'm scrambling. What do I do?
Yeah. So we know you're supposed to have your stuff cleaned up before we put it up for winter, but life happens and I've never seen anybody actually do this. Aaron's tiller is a rear tine tiller. It's not a front tine, and it's one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, it's a Southland.
It's Southland. It's very big. And I can say, even though it didn't work when we first got it.
That was because it got damaged in shipping.
It got damaged in shipping. We don't have problems with this tiller.
This tiller's been amazing for us.
I mean, we never have problems with the start. We never have problems with anything. Like, it just, knock on wood. I mean, Aaron's really learned how to use it. He has hardly any issues because we do prefer battery powered. And we know they're making battery powered tillers. And when something happens to this one, that's probably the way we'll lean. And because we don't like motors.
Yeah.
We have the worst.
We are not small engine repair people.
I've told Aaron to take a class.
I know. I mean, maybe I eventually need to. It's just something I wasn't around as a kid.
No. I always remember Dad working on the tiller. All the time. All the time working on the tiller. So for us, it works just about every time. I feel like we're in a good place.
Yeah.
So it's just, this isn't limited to your tiller.
No, it could be
any tool you use.
You need to sharpen up some blades.
Your hose.
Yeah, anything like that. Something that might need a little oiling, or you might need to oil up your handles.
Do you have all the weed eater string you need if you use a weed eater? Like, this is something I'm scared of running out of. Aaron keeps telling me we're okay.
We are.
But my little weed eater, I will not lie, I eat the weed eater screech, the weed eater string in it. But I do a lot.
Not as bad as you think, honestly.
I do a lot with it. Well, you use none. That 1 year you had it, I don't remember you having to change it. Whereas me, you changed it like 10 times last year.
Well, you used it a lot.
I know.
But you're not running through it as quick as you think you are.
I feel like I am. Compared to what you do. But we get everything ready. Or try to have everything ready that needs to be. Anything needs to be sharpened. Or at least have everything easy to get to. Easy access. We always try to set everything up for easy access, but that's really important, is to make sure we can get to what we need to get to.
Yeah, this year's going to be tougher on the easy access.
It's going to be a little tougher until we can get everything.
Some furniture back in the house.
Yes. We're still a few weeks out from that. So you get your tools, get them ready, and really think about what tools you need. Now, when we talk about tools, do you have the best tool, or do you have what you actually need to have?
Or is something else out there
that's even better
suited for your needs?
Right. Do you need to replace or update? So, we've been talking about a broad fork for years.
We had, and we bought one.
We bid it. We did.
For the new potato area, I want to make sure that we get it as deep as possible for the potatoes. Since it's a new area, I know it needs a little more TLC. And we knew a broad fork would be good for our main garden, since we'd prefer to do no-till.
We would. Our preference is no-till every time.
But sometimes we have to at the beginning of the year, and we wondered maybe we could broad fork it this year since we put down the compost as
well. We're not planning on putting any root crops in that area.
Right.
So would the 12-inch broad fork work? So we went with the 12-inch, 5x, 20 inches wide?
I believe so.
So, yeah, we went with that one. And this will be a tool more for Aaron than it is for me.
What? I thought you were using it.
I probably will too, but you will be the one who primarily uses this one, because he tends to do more of the in-ground prep, that heavier lifting, once he kind of gets an idea,
right,
gets it where it needs to be. Haulers, for me, I come look at it and tell him where else he needs to touch.
Yeah.
I'm more of let's get it flat. And if you, is that the video that went up on Wednesday? The garden prep? Our three tools for garden prep?
It, Yes, it went up on Wednesday. Yeah.
So if you see that video on Wednesday on YouTube, you'll see I'm the one who does more of the cleanup, the raking, getting the weeds out, getting it ready, and getting it flat and ready. But it does need that extra TLC. So we kind of break it up. So not one person's doing all the heavy lifting. And we also set aside money in our monthly budget to afford these things.
Yes, we're not taking them out and putting them like into the miscellaneous section of our budget.
No.
We are setting aside a certain amount of money for a sinking fund for these type of things at the moment, because we have a list of things we know that we need or that we're going to buy. So prepare for those and look for the deals or wait closer to the time we need them, you know.
Right. Really look and see what you need, what you don't need. Like, we knew we needed a lot of fence posts this year. Like, a lot of fence posts. So, for us, you know, that money's already set aside for that. Also, for the soil, that came out of that budget as well.
It did.
That was not planned, but with all the bags we had and all the beds, it just made more sense.
Yeah. We looked at it from the perspective of, that's a lot of soil we're going to be going and buying somewhere.
And this is much better.
And why not we just have them bring over another load? It's not like we wouldn't use any extra soil on something else.
Exactly. And especially this compost, it's organic. It is a local business. It's not like it's bags of stuff. And they will deliver it up here at a very reasonable price. That was one of the things, and one of the reasons we hadn't went this route. We couldn't find somebody who would do it at a decent price at all.
Right.
It was always charged by the mile. And for us, that's where you would spend as much money on the delivery.
Yeah.
So, I would say, I mean, we really started that in the winter. We figured out what we needed to have in the wintertime for what we needed to buy now. Because we knew we needed to buy some things. And we're trying to avoid buying as much as possible. We're going to set up water catchment systems. We know we need one in the garden. So we have the barrels to do this.
Yes, we just got to come up with our...
Where
and the systems we want to use, you know, on stuff like that. But items that will help us from a time perspective or... from a more production thing, you know, that's what we use that money set aside for stuff like this. I mean, it's like a homestead sinking fund.
It really is. It's what we call it. Homestead projects. We also got a, what's the plow? The duck plow?
Duck plow? Yeah, I think that was the name
of it. It was a newer thing. And this is, so... Again, this is a tool. It would be harder for me to use because that's one of the issues we come across is a lot of these tools are size specific.
And there's definitely a size
difference
between us. Yeah, this one here it's the DUC duck plow, and it's called a man pulled plow.
It is. We got it to
fur the potatoes.
And also the squashes and the beets. Well, not the beets because the beets are in the beds. But anything that needs that, because it would be much easier as opposed to us taking the hoe. Because that is one of the most exhausting jobs and I hate it. And it's also one of the reasons that our potatoes, I mean, we always have good luck with potatoes, but they don't do as much because we don't spend as much time pulling the dirt and building their heels up as we should be. This is to help save us that time and that energy because you just pull it and it does what it needs to. Now, the wheel hoe will do this, but getting the wheel hoe up to the tater patch and getting it in there would be...
Our potatoes the past few years have taken off so quickly.
And, yeah.
And so big that...
you can't get anything through them.
Yeah, we've tried to, you know, we were trying to get more in our garden, so our rows were probably a little shorter than they needed to be, smaller, you know, in between them than it should have been. That it just wasn't practical for the wheel hoe.
No. And now where they're located, that's not practical at all. It right. would be a nightmare to get it up
there. Yeah, they're going
to
be very narrow rows.
Well, and just getting it up the hill.
Yeah, it ain't that heavy.
It's not heavy, but it's awkward. And I do love the wheel hoe. The wheel hoe is a wonderful tool.
Yes,
definitely. It is a wonderful tool.
Especially for cutting down weeds.
It is. If you, especially like if they're really heavy, it's an absolutely fantastic tool to have. You should kind of have an idea of what you're looking for, but also be prepared if you see something that's really going to help you to have that cash set aside to purchase it. Because I'm sure we're going to see something that we really liked last year. And this was like right in the middle of planting season. Aaron found a tool for me. The cedar.
Oh, yes.
And you'll see a video on this later. But it is...
it's not really a cedar. It's a...
Planter.
Planter, yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but I love it. It's amazing. And it saved me so much time.
I'll have to look up the name of that one because I've forgotten what it was actually called.
But it is wonderful, especially for an in-ground garden. It's one of the best things he...
Yeah, so it's...
A tube?
A tube with a trigger on it so that you put your plants down in it and it digs the hole for them. And when you pull it back up, it brings the dirt around it. You still need to put more around it, you know, to get it there. But you're talking about going down through there, just planting stuff right quick. I know there's planters, you know, that can do multiple ones, you know, and stuff like that. But those are like, you know, anywhere from $700,000 most of the time you see.
This was under...
Or you got to use certain type of things that you plant your stuff on. This can be used for any type of potted plant.
And I had big squashes in this. Yes. I did big leaf squashes. These were not little bitty things I was put through this. These were massive squash plants that I had going through. And they did fine. I mean, there was no issues. But you'll see a video. We'll show you what this thing looks like. Because it is my favorite planting tool. Like, if I'm planting seedlings or my seed starts, this is the tool I will go to every single time. But Aaron saw it and found it and looked it up, and we found it was a reputable company. And a lot of these really ingenious ideas are from homesteaders like us.
Somebody that's like, hey, this is useful, and it turns into a business for them.
Absolutely. And we love to support people like that. And anything that can make my life easier and cut hours out of my time and keep my back from breaking, mm-hmm. I'm so willing to invest in that. Because for me, that's an investment in myself.
Right. And an investment in the homestead community.
It's investment in the homestead community. Absolutely. Completely agree.
Yeah. Let's see your final thoughts for today.
Have some cash set aside. Don't go into debt. Like, and if you know you need stuff and you can source it, source what you can. For us, we have really scavenged a lot of the materials we had for a lot of the things that we need to do. But we're at that point where we've scavenged so much now we're really having to invest because we've learned you can't go cheap. Well, not necessarily cheap. You can't go subpar on your materials. I know what type of fencing I need. It's the type of fencing I'm going to need every single time. And that's what I'm going to invest in every single time. Because it holds up better. It does better. And I'm going to reuse it every single year. Why would I want to waste my time? So, know what you need. And if you don't have the money now, start saving up. Start saving up now for next year. Mm-hmm. Do what you usually do. Start saving up for next year. It's not worth it to go into debt. We've always been really good about, you know, not putting a whole bunch of things on the credit card and then not being able to pay them off. We've never had that problem. We went into this knowing that if we purchase anything with credit card, be it for the homestead, for our home, for anything. It's
being paid off.
It's being paid off.
Yeah. I mean, it's not waiting to that next... It's not waiting to 2 months from now. It's going to be paid off as soon as that statement comes out.
And if you have the cash set aside, be willing to make investments in yourself. That is so important. I'm willing to spend $40 on a sprinkler if it helps make my job easier, and I don't have to carry a 100-foot water hose up to the garden and then try to garden this huge thing. Or if I don't have to carry, how many times do we have to fill up the jugs of water to get them up there? It's a hard job. It is an extremely hard job. And it doesn't, if you look at our property, you're like, well, that doesn't seem very hard. Walk up there with, you know, 50 pounds of water. It's a very hard job when you're doing it over and over again. And I feel like, and this is something we've had to really learn, sometimes it's worth it to invest in yourself and in your property. What about you?
Making sure you think of everything you need to prepare for the spring. Trying not to wait for anything last minute and trying to get it done then, you know. You're like, oh, I'm going to plant my garden this weekend. I haven't got checked on my rototiller, haven't checked on my wheel hoe, haven't checked on my hose. You know, I'm just going to go out here and start it this weekend. No, you need to prepare and make sure you have everything in tip-top shape for when it comes time. You know, even the ground, making sure that it's ready beforehand, you know, because you might have things you're planting at different times, or things that you decide, oh, well, it's a great weekend now for this. It looks like we're past the freeze point. I want to plant this weekend. But five weeks ago, I wouldn't have thought I would have planted then. You know, just thinking from that type of perspective and making sure everything is ready to go. Yeah. If you've got any comments, questions, things you want to see in upcoming podcasts, send those over to thekennycouple@yahoo.com. Make sure to go over to our link tree there, and you can find all of our other content where we're located throughout the web, I guess you can say now. But make sure to stop by our YouTube channel, check out some of our videos. We've been trying to keep along the same type of theme, per se. We might have a video that goes with the podcast.
Yep. And as always, thank you for joining us on Rural Reliance with the Candy Couple, where we work hard, live simple, and enjoy life. Have a wonderful day.